0. The scroll in question, unfurled. What the parchment tells with the benefit and lack of proper perspective. This curious scroll was found buried beneath the head of a skeletal dragon in the deerwood by a still docile wicht whose mind was held by the family dog, the first son of the wizardborn family. The discovery of the scroll, however, even clenched in the boy's fangs, cannot explain the odd, shredded state of the scroll. The scroll looks as if it has been torn apart and placed back together, yet the seams are difficult to make out, as if the scroll healed itself into a new pattern. What is even more unusual is that when the scroll is unrolled, nothing is written on it, although the tear patterns are present and can be felt when one touches the parchment-like material. It was only discovered that there was more there when one of the priests of Wall, reading it before an audience, was interrupted by a crude-speaking Orlan with an eye patch, who demanded why he was only reading half the story, and then demanded his pawns for the reading back. Upon examination, the priest saw nothing, neither did the accompanying priests. But after the Orlan was tossed out after spitting upon one's eye, the priest so spat upon looked upon the back of the scroll with his single eye untouched, and found the Orlan was correct. Without depth perception, a larger narrative revealed itself on the scroll's spine, a story which ran much longer than the scroll itself seemed to, and never seemed to be the same story twice to the same eye. Over time, asking various men to tell what they saw in the scroll became a standard practice, until the middle section was unveiled, and then the man in question was slain in the best manner the inexpert priests knew how. What they sought to conceal was either too fascinating or abhorrent, and many were the blasphemies contained therein concerning the God of Secrets and the ending of him.
Well, blasphemies to all except the dead heart, who remained silent and hidden when the claims of their sect were revealed, and they tasked themselves with recovering the parchment. Written in ink of a blendfish are the words, "The dead heart exists, and they sing for the end of all things, gods and men alike, and for the world stopping its path through the heavens."
On the owning of knowledge. The scroll was in the possession of the priests of Wall for 100 days, and while it remained in their possession, visitors and disciples to the library where the scroll was stored reported seeing the same fragments of text spreading into the books there, and new fragments as well. Seeking the mystery, the priests of Wall reopened all the tomes and scrolls in their possession, found several new entries, but when they returned to match the fragments against the scroll, they found the scroll had gone missing. The adherent in charge of the scroll was punished, despite arguing that the absence of the mystery along with the mystery itself was simply Wall's way. For ease of translation, each chapter is grouped into themes and topics that begin and end abruptly. What follows is the course of the narrative, though not necessarily in the correct order, but best as can be determined by the archivists. What theology tells us. This passage was torn from the almanac with some violence. It didn't belong there, needed a new home, along with the other gods. And besides, Wall is not one who shares all knowledge. Any touch of his, any symbol of his, would suggest that the work is incomplete. Wall, pronounced like Wall, which is fitting, also known as the Obscured, the Eyeless Face, the Hundred Visions, he who sees and is not seen. Countless seeing metaphors and blindness titles, either implying able to see too much or too little. Too cryptic to understand. Yet, should Wall appear, it will always be a person and shift within a range of the possibilities imagined by man. So perhaps our imagination is his cage. If so, it must hate us so. It is embodied in the symbol of the eye, either alone, repeated, shifting, countless styles, colors, but an eye nonetheless. Wall claims what one would expect. Visions, dreams, revelation, illusions, secrets, obfuscation, cryptography, symbols, perception. But in accordance with his domain, how would one know for sure? No known allies and no known enemies, with known being the key word, a key word that fits no door. Wall's objectives and thought processes are often inscrutable to others, mortal and immortal. It represents both the acts of concealment and obfuscation, as well as the acts of revelation and decryption. People pray to it both to protect and hide their secrets, as well as to help them unravel a riddle or problem in front of them. The obscured is the only consistent manifestation of Wall, though it has supposedly taken thousands of forms among mortals when it suits it to do so. The obscured appears as a person of constantly shifting sex, age, race, size, and ethnicity, speaking in an endless number of known and unknown, possibly nonsensical languages. Two things are constant about the appearance of the obscured. Its face has no eyes, and it is surrounded by a swirling cloud of eyes of all different sizes and shapes, many seemingly painted or illustrated, others monstrous or tiny, but of incredible number and variety. Wall's priests are often the founders and caretakers of many centers of learning, including various libraries. The priests' relationship with knowledge is complicated, for they hide as much as they make available to others. There is even an inner sect of elite priests known as the Hand Occult, authors and scribes writing under pseudonyms who attempt to control the flow of esoteric knowledge. Some academics believe there is a more sinister side to the Hand Occult, but most scholars find the strange scribe's activities more bizarre and silly than malicious.